I had recently read in the paper about a 95-year-old poetess and was inspired by the fact that she was still writing poetry at 95 to tell my story. Of course, this poetess had been published several years before, and she was an accomplished poetess. I am not accomplished, but I think the story has a certain amount of interest, if only to the children. The background of this story starts with the year that I started to practice law. Before that, I had been a night student in law school, night student in college, and I worked at Lowenstein. As a result, I had very little time or effort for any other curricular activity. I was a night owl in school, and I worked during the daytime. And so when I finished my initiation, I suddenly woke up about 6 or 7 months after I had been admitted. I think Dick had just been born. And I realized that a review of certain things was in order. And this was my review. The first thing I did was buy a piano. But then suddenly my career in the arts came to a halt. I became very busy with politics, intensely so, and that was the year when I finished running for office that I took stock again of where I was. I knew I had no talent, no background in music, but I really have even less when it comes to the arts. The concept, even today, of the difficulty for me to react to an art has constantly amazed me, because I know how great these artworks are and how they have stunned the world. So that it must be my fault that I go into a museum and stolidly look at the art and walk out unmoved, no matter how many I looked at and how great they are. The first spur came when Rose Steinauer introduced me to the, of all things, the mandolin. Her husband was in the army, and Mom suggested that I take her to what was then a mandolin orchestra. It was called the Freiheit Verein, a left-wing newspaper, Jewish newspaper. She knew about it, and between the two of us, I don't know where we got our mandolin from, by the way, but the two of us attended every Friday night rehearsal, and then something happened, and when the concert was given, we weren't there. Now, of course, the rehearsal was peculiar in that I couldn't play the mandolin, but the ability to pluck on the 4 or 5 strings and to listen to the others making music was enough to get me by. Lucky I didn't go to the final concert. Might have ruined it. Anyway, that was the first instance. Incidentally, many years later, when I recall the story with Rose, she insisted that I had invited her, and I insisted that she had invited me. But at any rate, the incident with the mandolin was very short-lived and not productive of any specific event, other than the fact that I wasn't able to play the mandolin then, and I can't play it now. And I don't have a mandolin anyway. Then, the next recurrence of my life with music became when I began taking the children to the Manhattan Music School. While I was taking Bob and Nita, I decided to take a piano lesson myself. And I distinctly remember one woman who was my teacher for the day. I only lasted one or two sessions, by the way. Assigned a piece called There Were Three Kings Coming In to illustrate the dotted quarter note. Dotted quarter means that it is a half measure longer than one quarter. I mastered it very, very nicely because the line consisted of two, there were two lines of music and I could sing it, so I knew what it was. When she said, why don't you put a little spirit into it or a little emotion into it? My jaw dropped. And I looked at her like she was crazy. What kind of emotion or what kind of spirit can I put into a child's piece illustrating the dotted quarter? I decided she was crazy or nutty, and I stopped taking music lessons. But in that school, there was a music appreciation class run by a woman by the name of Ann Dodge. While the kids were taking their lesson, I attended the music appreciation class. And Ann Dodge was a very interesting character. The technique she used was so different from the kind of thing that normally attends music appreciation that I was hooked. I also invited my friend Jack Tannen to come with me, and he did. And we both enjoyed Ann Dodge's lectures very much. Her approach involved not recognizing the music, but recognizing the various styles of music that the ages produced, the kind of thing that was in the Bach era, the Fugue era, and then the kind of thing that came later on when the Brahms era came in. And the recognition of the style of the music was her particular point of reference. Anyway, Jack Tannen invited her to his home in Seagate. At that time, he had two kids, one Carol and the other a boy, who was prolific in making drawings. Matter of fact, the house had every wall plastered with paintings by Bob, the son. And at the end of the session, he invited Ann Dodge to take home a sample of the art of his son. She instead asked for and got a crude drawing on a an orange crate, piece of wood, that the girl had drawn on. Well, we didn't think much of it until I saw Ann Dodge later. And I congratulated her on her feeling for the right note. In other words, the boy, the tenor boy, had so much in the way of publicity and adulation by his parents and the like, whereas she got none. All of his art was plastered over the four or five walls of the apartment, and she had only a little piece of wood on which she scribbled on. And Ann Dodge turned to me and said, "Are you kidding? I don't give a damn for what he did. That girl has talent. There are a dime a dozen of his kind. I've seen them from time immemorial." I didn't have any particular feeling of good taste and like, so that he would feel that I was doing her a favor. I liked her work, and his I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. Then I realized that there was more to this business than I had thought. The idea that Carol had on her little orange crate wood scrawled something that made Anne react as well as she did. At this point, I should tell you something about this very interesting character, Ann Dodge. She was a student of the piano in Paris of Wanda Ladowska. As a matter of fact, the book she studied from, the Bach Preludes, 49 Preludes, I wound up with that book. She, on the other hand, gave up the piano and married a man who was a student of the famous dancer, I forget his name just now, I'll fill it in later, in Paris. When they came to the United States, he entertained, or he performed with her as a boy, and to achieve that effect, he bound her breast very tightly so that the bulge would not show. In the meantime, they traveled around the United States, and they attended some of the nightclubs where black musicians, pianists, were playing. I forget their names. They were famous. And she tells the story of how she asked one of them why he switched from a certain series of riffs that she'd heard in Los Angeles, why in Chicago it sounded different. Where was the music? Where, and how did it happen? And he indicated that he had never studied music, and he played the same piece differently every time he played it. And she, of course, was stunned at the kind of talent that was exhibited. This particular husband of hers, who was a ne'er-do-well of a very rich woman, used to bring his laundry to Ann Dodge's house. And in the process, the laundry always stuck a cardboard in the shirt to keep it stiff, and when it was ironed, he would write some kind of Ezra Poundish poetry, which was, as far as I was concerned, gibberish, and would come for his laundry when she wasn't there and leave the cardboard with the poem prominently on the piano. And when she saw it, she would just gush. It was the greatest thing she had ever heard or written. Wasn't it wonderful, if you ask me? And I would nod dumbly, saying, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, that was my contribution." The piano lessons I took she recognized that I wasn't going to practice, and she then played one hand, the left hand, and I played the right, and then we switched from the right hand to the left, and in that way, even though I didn't play the piano, I did get a musical lesson. I did get a feeling of what that Bach piece, which is what we concentrated on, was like. And it was a very, very lovely affair. The other husband was also interesting. As a matter of fact, he was a grandson of a former Supreme